Two United flights may have been probed by terrorists. In one, luggage was allowed to travel on a plane separate from the passenger. And John and Martha offer specific recommendations. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. Two men who flew aboard a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Amsterdam were arrested Monday when they arrived in the Netherlands and charged with preparation of a terrorist attack. One of the two was allegedly carrying what were described as mock bombs in his luggage. A senior law enforcement official told ABC News the movement of the suspicious components was, quote, almost certainly a dry run, a test, unquote. The Dutch public prosecutor said the arrests were made at the request of American authorities. One of the suspects, Detroit resident Amen Mohammed Nasser Al-Sufi, had been stopped for additional screening in Birmingham, Alabama, due to what officials described as bulky clothing. He was found to be carrying $7,000 in cash. His luggage was inspected and found to contain a cell phone taped to a plastic bottle, three cell phones taped together, a box cutter, and three large knives. There were also three wristwatches taped together. Not finding any actual explosives, TSA cleared the luggage to fly from Birmingham to Chicago. At Chicago, Al-Sufi reportedly checked the luggage on a flight to Dubai and then on to Yemen, with a stop at Washington's Dulles Airport. But in Washington, he instead boarded a plane for Amsterdam with the second man, Hazem Al-Murisi. When it was discovered that Al-Sufi was not traveling with his luggage, the plane from Dallas to Dubai was returned to its gate and the suitcase confiscated. It was then that Dutch officials were alerted, and the two were detained when they arrived in Amsterdam. It's not clear what happens from here. In the end, no formal charges were sought by the U.S. Could this also be related to a probe for security vulnerability? As passengers boarded United Airlines Flight 727 at Dulles Airport in the Washington, D.C. area, going to Tampa Sunday night, one made a comment to a flight crew member, which resulted in nine men being removed from the plane and another 15 passengers deciding to request a change in their travel plans. One of the passengers who took a later flight to Tampa, John Luke, told WTSP television that the nine were seated throughout the plane and that police came in with their hands on their guns and escorted the men off the aircraft. He said the fact that the men appeared to know each other triggered concern on the part of himself and other passengers, and they asked to be flown to Tampa on later flights. The nature of the comment that started it all has not been revealed, but United told CNN that the nine men were interviewed and then rebooked on a Monday flight to Tampa. After Saturday's ugly ordeal at Santa Barbara Airport in California, King School's co-chairman John and Martha King have put together a list of what they'd like to see changed about the way police intercept aircraft they think are stolen, especially given the apparent unreliability of tips from the feds. John and Martha were met by four carloads of gun-wielding cops at Santa Barbara because their Cessna 172 carried a reissued N number, which had previously identified a 1968 Cessna 150 that was stolen way back in 2002. The police had no protocol to follow for an airplane, so they resorted to procedures used in high-risk traffic stops, which are very different situations. The Kings offered four specific suggestions. First, the FAA should not reassign numbers of stolen aircraft unless the system is changed to protect the users of the aircraft to which those numbers are reassigned. In the Kings' case, the stolen 150 had been deregistered but was never actually found. Second, EPIC, the El Paso Intelligence Center, which called Santa Barbara with the tip, should check the FAA database before notifying agencies that a stolen aircraft in the IFR system is inbound. Those notifications should distinguish between suspected drug smugglers, terrorists, and aircraft thieves. Third, there needs to be a system for correcting the stolen aircraft database and better coordination between agencies. The King's 172 had already been intercepted 18 months earlier for the same reason, yet despite the obvious error, nobody bothered to remove the aircraft from the stolen aircraft list. And finally, police departments should be given procedures and training regarding intercepting suspicious aircraft, which present risk profiles very different from cars. Local departments should also take the 60 seconds or so required to determine that the suspect aircraft has not had the registration number reassigned and is the correct make and model. Obviously, that did not happen Saturday. You can read John and Martha's blog by clicking the blog link at the very bottom of the main page of their website, www.kingschools.com. Up next on ANN, NTSB may review braking standards for airliners. The Mexican border gets more attention and money in an election year. And in Philadelphia, there apparently were no good choices. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The Wall Street Journal reports the case of an American Airlines jet that slid off a wet runway during heavy rain in Kingston, Jamaica in December has the NTSB reviewing wet braking standards for airliners. The accident collapsed the landing gear and the fuselage broke into three sections. Several of the 154 people on board were hospitalized, but all survived. Unnamed sources tell the paper that by the airline's accepted criteria for wet braking, that 737-800 should have been able to stop even after landing about midfield in heavy rain. The sources say the NTSB is conducting the research with an eye toward recommending that safety margins for landings on wet runways be reevaluated and that those margins be tightened if necessary. As of yesterday, the entire U.S. border with Mexico is now under the watchful eyes of the remote operators of unmanned Predator drones. The addition of a third UAS for the Department of Customs and Border Protection to make the coverage seamless was funded using part of a $600 million budget provided by a bill signed August 13th by President Obama. Bloomberg reports the budget also funds two more UAVs for the Department of Homeland Security. Stephane Mayer has joined Dare Cicada as CEO. If that has a familiar ring to it, he's the former CEO of Eads Cicada before the divestiture by Eads. The 47-year-old Mayer also becomes a member of Dare's executive committee. The company says Mayer joins the management team responsible for further developing Dare's aerospace sector activity, including investments and future projects with the company's general aviation division. The bogged process of expanding Philadelphia International Airport may get moving again. The FAA has chosen what it feels is the best of competing plans. It would be funded using $5.2 billion in federal grants, airport revenue bonds, and passenger facility charges, according to the Daily Times of Delaware County. Illustrating just how ugly the choices must have been, this plan deemed best by the FAA will still require the taking of 200 acres of land from private owners, bulldozing 72 homes, and relocating a UPS facility. It will take 12 to 15 years to complete and will cost local governments $3 million every year in lost property tax revenue. Noise impact will be significant for nearly 2,000 neighbors, and 82 acres of wetlands will be lost. Tincom Township, near the airport, has declared war. Commission President Thomas J. Giancristoforo Jr. says he will do, quote, everything in my power, unquote, to stop further airport encroachment into the township. Quote, it's our survival, really, unquote. An environmental impact review of the plan is yet to come. Still ahead, NASA and ATK report another successful rocket test. Two private companies get NASA money for their tests. And Sonny Perdue will be back at NBAA 2010. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. NASA's Constellation program may have only days to live before the Obama administration's new vision for NASA comes in with a new federal budget year. But the agency and ATK, Alliant Tech Systems, report a successful test firing on Tuesday of a second Ares 5-segment development motor, identified as DM-2. The stationary firing of the first stage development rocket motor took place in Promontory in northern Utah. It was the most heavily instrumented solid rocket motor test in NASA history. More than 760 instruments measured 53 test objectives. The first stage solid rocket motor is designed to generate up to 3.6 million pounds of thrust at launch. The Utah congressional delegation is trying to keep the Constellation program funded in the next fiscal year to save 3,000 jobs in the state. NASA's Commercial Reusable Suborbital Research Program, acronymed CRUISER, has awarded about $475,000 to Armadillo Aerospace of Rockwall, Texas, and Masten Space Systems of Mojave, California. The awards will allow the two companies to perform test flights of their experimental vehicles near the edge of space. The flights will demonstrate the capabilities of new vehicles to provide recoverable launch and testing of small payloads going to near space. The overall goal of the program is regular, frequent, and predictable access to near space at a reasonable cost with easy recovery of intact payloads. The awards will fund two flights this fall and one this winter of Armadillo's Supermod vehicle from Spaceport America in New Mexico. The first two flights will be to an altitude of 9 miles, the third to 25 miles. The Masten Space Systems Exero vehicle will make 4 flights this winter from the Mojave Spaceport in California. 2 flights will reach an altitude of 3 miles, 2 others will go to 18 miles, with an engine shutdown during flight. Interestingly, both vehicles will be equipped for ADS-B. Those will be interesting blips to see on your traffic advisory. And finally, the 63rd Annual Meeting and Convention of the National Business Aviation Association in Atlanta will feature a keynote address delivered by a guy who knows how, active pilot and Georgia governor Sonny Perdue. NBAA President Ed Boland says the organization is proud to present the governor, quote, and also to honor him with the American Spirit Award for his dedication to all aviation, including business aviation, unquote. Governor Perdue last addressed NBAA at the 2007 show. In 2009, when it suddenly became very trendy to bash business aviation, he responded with a proclamation recognizing the essential role general aviation plays for the state of Georgia and its businesses. NBAA 2010 will be held in Atlanta, October 19th through the 21st. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Brian McCallan, the air boss for the Powered Parachute Group, at the recent PRA convention and fly-in in Mentone, Indiana, about why his guys were excited to be invited to a rotorcraft event. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.